Qasim, I'm wondering, what inspired you to write Hannah and the Ramadan Gift?
Well, representation matters. Growing up,
Definitely.
you would go to the library and you could find some great books on Christmas, even a couple on Hanukkah, but literally nothing on Ramadan. And so when my wife and I were expecting our first child about 13 years ago now, we wanted to make sure our kids had books that reflected their lived experiences, and we didn't really find much. I was raised with the belief that if you see a problem, you don't complain about it, you try to solve it. And so that really triggered the idea to write a book about Ramadan. And here we are.
And so did you sit down and start writing the book then, or what was the process to go from, you mentioned around 13 years ago, with the idea behind this book until now getting it published last winter?
Actually, it just published last month, last April,
Oh,
just
sorry. Yeah,
in.
okay.
And it was a process because initially, when I did pitch the idea to, I don't know, dozens of publishers, the pushback was, there's not really a market for this. It's not really something that we do. Now, since then, there have been some great books published by various authors on Ramadan. And over time, I think as the market developed, as publishers began to realize that, hold on a second, there's 1.8 billion Muslims and very few books on Ramadan, maybe there actually is a market here. And combined with just a wonderful editor that I have, Thundersri, a great team I'm sorry, a wonderful agent, Thundersri, a great team of editors at Penguin. It just came together really well, and I'm just really, really happy with this finished product.
So what's the most difficult part about writing a children's book versus writing a long-form text-heavy book aimed at the adult market?
Well, it's like that old saying, right? I didn't have time to write a short letter, so I wrote a long one. There's a lot that goes into children's book writing, and it's really like any kind of skill, right? I mean, there's artists who are great painters but can't sculpt, or artists who paint a certain way but not a different way. And again, writing, I've written law review articles, hundreds of op-eds, lengthy research papers. And this is very different because your audience is very different. You have only so many words, and so every word has to count. And then you also have to remember that you have a brilliant illustrator, in our case, Adia Jalil, on board, who has the ability, again, pictures worth a thousand words, who has the ability to kind of bring the story along or let the reader come along through the pictures rather than the words. You have to have that trust. Confidence that they'll pick up what you're leaving out. And it's kind of a lot of moving parts, but a lot of fun and something that I hope to do again very soon.
So I'm curious how the illustrations play into that with the writing process. Which came first? Is it sort of a chicken egg thing where you have the writing comes first and then the illustrations, or is it a work in progress and hard to sort of pull them apart?
Well, you definitely have the text first, because you need to have the framework on where the illustrations should go and what they should look like. And then the artist comes in, reads the text, and maybe some notes you have on kind of what you're envisioning. And then they put together a schematic, usually like a pencil outline, just a black and white outline that generally describes kind of what direction they're going in. And if that direction appeals, you push forward. If not, you say, well, actually, here's kind of what I was thinking, and they send you a revision. But in our case, that's the process that we went through. And as I mentioned, Adia Jalil, a talented young artist from Texas, just did a brilliant job of capturing exactly what we were thinking. And so, I thought we had a great working relationship, and I thought she did a phenomenal job that really captured the essence of what we were trying to do. And then, once you get to the end, of course, there's certain tweaks and revisions that happen, just like with any process. But that really was a positive experience for our team. And I think a lot of it is due to the fact that we had an artist who herself has experienced Ramadan. She, observes Ramadan. And so she was, illustrating from experience, not from some theory. And I think that, again, goes back to my
Right.
earlier point. Representation truly matters in these conversations.
Definitely. So I'm curious, what have you done to promote your book? What have you found works well to promote a book aimed at children, again, sort of versus more traditional publishing aimed at adult readers?
Well, you go where the children are. I mean, you make sure you're Your book is available in children's bookstores. You do book readings, book signings. Folks love to gift this book as well. One of the key components that I've made clear about this book is that while it is a children's book about Ramadan, it's not a book exclusively for Muslim kids. Because the idea behind this book, again, representation matters, is for all children to see Ramadan, to see Muslims as normalized, to see Asian Americans, for example. The main characters in the book are Asian American, to see them as normalized. And, especially at a time of, spiking anti-Asian hate crimes, at a type of high Islamophobia, anti-immigrant rhetoric, this kind of a book, hopefully helps inoculate young people against hate and bigotry and gives them the tools to push back. And so our entire marketing has been really that this is a book that unifies people, brings folks together, talks about the critical themes of service to humanity inherent in Ramadan. And so far we've had a really positive and overwhelmingly compassionate and thoughtful feedback.
That's awesome. So I'm curious, you mentioned you hope to do it again. Do you have another book idea in mind for your next book?
Sure, we're in those talks right now. We'll see what that looks like, but I can say with confidence that this is not going to be the last that we've heard of Hannah, who's the main character in this book. I'm hopeful that we'll have more opportunities, and in the coming days and weeks, we're having those conversations. And not just the story, but also the medium. There could be other mediums in which this kind of a story may lend itself. So. When we talk about changing the narrative, it doesn't really happen with just one children's book. It requires ongoing, I would even say generational support and efforts. So we're going to continue to push that ball forward, and hopefully we can be successful again too.